Now we're going to start the ceremony by offering tree refuges in 5 precepts. Now please remember, Manisara to offer the tree refuges in 5 precepts.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dityampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dityampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dityampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dityampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dityampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dityampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Saranagamanam nittitam Panati pata veramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Adinnadana veramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Ussavada veramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Suramiryamachapamadatthana veramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Imani pancha sikha padani silena sukitinyanti, silena bhoga sampada, silena nibitinyanti. Tasma silam visodhaye. May you keep these 5 precepts and purify in virtue for your happiness, your blameless prosperity, and the attainment of nirvana.
So just even short dharma reflection. Sometimes before someone asks me a question, because we talk about sense of self, how we identify ourselves, who we are, and sometimes I identify as I am kind, I'm compassionate, I'm so helpful, and this is how we have the image of who we are, and we attach to the identity of who we are. And Then they said, you know, and then they are kind person. So whatever we do, we try to fit in the idea, the identity of I'm good. So I'm helpful, I'm kind. Actually, it's nothing wrong being kind, being compassionate. All these are good qualities, isn't it? Being frugal. But the problem is we identify as this is me, and that creates suffering. And then people say, oh, that means whatever I do, I still have the sense of self, you know. Then I look at the person, I say, of course you have sense of self, unless you're fully enlightened, you know. It's true, isn't it? You still have sense of self unless you're fully enlightened. Even Anand Gami, they still have a bit of sense of self, you know. It's still there, you know, unless you're fully enlightened. I said, it's okay. It's a gradual training. You know, the Buddha said, you know, we abandon unwholesome, cultivate good, purify your mind. You know, and this is a gradual training, you know. So of course, first of all, you have to renounce, give up doing something that is harming others and harming ourselves, something that is unwholesome, you know, by restraining ourselves, keeping precept, you know, that's help us to restrain, you know, and not to, you have to give up the unwholesome first, then you cultivate good, you know, then only you purify your mind. It's step by step, it's gradually, you know. So of course you still have the sense of self. I say, no worry. I say, rather than, you know, you're doing something good, helping someone, it's still good, even though come with the sense of self, isn't it? You're being kind to someone, even though you have the ego, you know, but it's still good, rather than you doing something horrible, harming someone, isn't it? You know, you have a part of loving kindness, rather than you thinking how bad the person is, you know. I mean, that is still, you are cultivating, you know, the good quality. So it's not there yet, but it's on the path. It's, you know, we just cannot. For example, we have to cross over the other side of the shore. We need a raft. So then, but we cannot just let go in the middle of the river, isn't it? We have to use it until when we reach there, you know. I'm not there yet. I said, it's okay, don't worry. I said, not to worry about that, you know. He said, oh, that means I have come with sense of self. I said, of course you have sense of self, you know, unless you're fully enlightened. I said, no worries. I said, not to worry about that, you know. So this is the teaching of all the Buddhas. At first you have to, you know, give up, you know, unwholesome, unskillful action, you know, by keeping precept, like all of you coming here, you know, keeping precept is to help us to restrain ourselves, to restrain something that is unskillful, something that is harming others. Because when we harm others, actually, ultimately, we're harming ourselves. It's not really for our own well-being. So restraining. So actually, lots of people think that they're restrained, but actually, they're suppressed. The difference of restraining that you, the restraining itself, you have the awareness, you're aware of that, oh, this is something unwholesome, you know, I don't pay attention to this, you know. That's why this 4-5 effort come in. Sometimes because it's not the right effort, when it's this right effort, actually it gives arouse energy. It gives you energy. Because when the more we restrain ourselves, actually we strengthen our mind. Our mind becomes stronger. So we strengthen, we have more energy. But sometimes people trying to suppress, you know, not like stopping the mind from going further, but if we try to use willpower to stop the mind to suppress. So whenever, most of the time when we suppress, we don't know. Whenever it comes up, it kind of has, you just push it up, push it up, push it down. And that's not without awareness, without knowing that it's become a habit, it's just automatic. And then that using willpower. When we try to suppress, actually use a lot of willpower. When using willpower, actually you use up lots of mental energy. Like for example, sometimes people, when they meditate, you know, they try very hard to focus on the breath, you know. Then after an hour, 2 hours, they say, I'm very tired. You know, after meditating, I said, of course you are tired because you try too hard, you try to focus on the breath. Using willpower to try to focus actually use up lots of mental energy. Actually, it's okay. You just stay there. And then you just stay there aware that my mind wonder, oh, I come back. My mind wonder, oh, I come back. And then Actually, I said, even though you can't focus too long on your breath, it's okay. At least you know that your mind is busy. At least you know that your mind wandered off. The knowing is there, you know? And not like you try to force the mind to focus. I said, you use up lots of energy. And then sometimes you agitate the mind. You find that. And then eventually, this is how sometimes people don't like to meditate anymore. Because a lot of agitation, because they use too much willpower, try to force someone. Imagine I force you to sit, you don't like, isn't it? You have to be kind to the mind, you know. Okay. It's okay, you know. Wonder, oh, never mind, you come back, you train your mind. You have to keep doing that, you have to keep training the mind. Train until that the mind become a habit, you know, like not automatically. Over a period of time, your mind don't wander off too far. The mind will know how to come back. Even though it's wandered off, you come back. You find that even you sit like that, 1 hour, somehow you feel peaceful. You feel, you know, you feel peaceful, you feel calm. And then, because you cannot use willpower, you cannot force the mind. So that's why not suppressing, pushing, using too much willpower. That's why this is the right effort coming. So not to try not to allow unwholesome thoughts arise, you know. When unwholesome thoughts arise, then we have to stop it, you know, we stop it. So, and then we deliberately bring out thoughts of loving kindness, you know. Then when we have to constantly have the thoughts of loving kindness become our habit, then the unwholesome thoughts have no chance to arise. You know, this is the put in the right effort, you know, and then when you are putting the right effort, and actually it helps you to arouse more energy. But if it's the wrong effort, sometimes people put in the effort into suppressing, into using willpower, you know, to stop the mind, and then using to and push, trying so hard to stop and pushing the mind and try to suppress. And that is counterproductive. Actually, in fact, you reinforce. It becomes even stronger. So actually, and use up more mental energy. And then you feel tired. That's why I said, you know, I said, if you truly sit there quietly, you know, just sit there. Sometimes you just sit there doing nothing. Just aware that, you know, my mind is busy. Actually, it's also good enough. You feel calm. You cannot force it. Come naturally. So that's a typical precept, a way to restrain our mind and to build up our strength, build up our momentum. And it's hard to be. First of all, you have to give up first, isn't that? You have to give up doing something that is harmful, that is causing, you know, difficulty to yourself and to others, you know, and that is the first step. And after that, we cultivate good, like practice generosity, sharing, giving dana. So giving is also a gradual training. First of all, we give up our material well-being, you know, give something that, oh yeah, you know, to others. And then slowly, when we, it's a gradual training, slowly we even give something that, even though we would love to have it, but we still give it away. And that is more, that is a gradual training. Slowly, we'll be able to give up our more refined defilements like greed, hatred, and delusion on more refined level. But you have to start from a coarser level to more refined level. So this is, you know, that is cultivating good, you know, deliberately bring, you know, thoughts of loving kindness, you know. So first thing, wake up in the morning, think the first, you have to train yourself. You know, we brainwash ourselves, we condition ourselves, you know, and become a habit. Like if you become a habit, like every day, early in the morning, the first thing you think that, oh, what can I help today? What can I do of service today? If you always have the kind of thoughts, actually it's natural. And becomes like just natural part of you. You don't have to, even after over a period of time, you don't have to purposely, you know, to bring that up. It becomes like your natural. Like, for example, if someone negative, you know, and nature, you know, whatever they see, they only see everything that is shortcoming of others. They can't see the good things in others, you know. But if you train yourself, you always look at the bright spot of others, isn't it? That is part of you. You train yourself that way. This is how you cultivate good. And then as this, you cultivate good, and then to purify your mind. So as come from a kindness and compassion, actually, you have to have the wisdom, come from our clarity, you know, when our mind is pure, you know, when our mind is purified, actually we are naturally kind, isn't it? Naturally compassionate, like children when they're born, you know, and they're young. And you know that the mind is pure, they're naturally kind and compassionate, isn't it? They don't have all sorts of thinking or all sorts of unwholesome thoughts towards others. They're naturally kind. So it's come from the purity. So as we remove the purity, our mind become really bright. Like the Buddha gave the metaphor of the simile of that, like a goldsmith. When the impurities remove, the gold, when it's a pure gold, it's shiny, isn't it? So our mind is like a shiny without the impurities, without all these unwholesome qualities, you know, then the mind is pure, you know, radiant. And this is the path, you know, it's a gradual training. So first of all, we have to give up unwholesome, unskillful action. Then we cultivate good, you know, develop our mind, you know, then cultivate good. And then also, and then in that, we practice present moment awareness, you know, and develop our mindfulness and in meditation. This is how we purify our mind. So actually, this is a gradual training. So it's okay. Like some people used to say, I still have anger. I said, of course you still have anger. I said, what do you expect? Unless you're at least at Anagami, then, you know, once returned, then you have no anger. I said, don't worry. I said, at least you know that you have anger is good enough. You know, like the Buddha said, you know, a fool knows that he's a fool, he's still wise to the extent. If a fool thinks that he's wise, you know, he's indeed a fool. I said, if you come and tell me that I'm perfect, I have no defilements, then I told that person, I'm really worried, you know, if he said that. But at least I said, you know, that this, when a fool knows that he's a fool, you're still wise, you know, rather than you think that you are wise, you know, actually you're a fool. So I said, you know, actually people don't understand. Actually, if you see your own defilements, that means you have wisdom. You have enough clarity to see that, you know. Because without clarity, you're unable to see yourself. In order to see our own defilements, it's very difficult to see ourselves. It's easy to see the mistake of others, isn't it? If you can see your own mistake, that means you have developed wisdom. You have to have the wisdom to see your own defilements. That's what normally when people said to me, I said, sadhu, very good. At least you are wise, you know. At least you're able to see your own defilements. You have that wisdom and you're wise to the extent. So I said, this is a gradual training. Don't worry, you know, not to think about, you know. And people expect themselves to have very high expectation. Like they are like up, they want to like as fully enlightened, you know. I still have defilements, I still have this. I said, what do you expect? Of course you still have. I said, it's a gradual training. At least you know that you're on the path. So the Buddha said, if you know that you're heading the right direction, all you need to do is just keep walking. Continue. Keep practicing and keep practicing. So I offer this for Dhamma reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. So now you're going to share the merits in English. By the time you take intention to come to offer Dhamma, all your thoughts and energy had gone into the preparation of the food, thinking of what you're going to bring to offer and making the effort to come on time. The offering suffered for today's meal, the offerings of other requisites for the monastery. Commit yourself to live accordance to the Buddha's teaching by keeping the five precepts. And also listen with respect to the Buddha's teaching. These are parts of the merits of today's dana. May you be very happy as you reflect the goodness of your life at this moment. First of all, I would like to invite you to share the merits that you have made. That is happiness in your heart, your parents, your teachers, and those are close to you by bringing them to mind and wishing them well. We also remember our departed dear ones, relatives, and friends. May the remembrance of friend and sharing of merits with them be a cause for happiness and peace. May it help them have a favorable rebirth when they can hear and practice Buddha's teaching. When the material needs are easily met, when the opportunity of making good karma for their own support addition, marriage is our departed. They want to say that all the pain we buy. We also share the marriage of devas and devil beings everywhere. May the orphans of marriage devas and devil beings everywhere hear calls for happiness and peace. May the devas able to protect the Buddha Sasana. May the world be loving kindness and compassion on our brothers here and our loved ones near and far. May these orphans of marriage devas and devil beings everywhere also have